As we said before, this is our sixth message in our series on things to come. We looked so far at the rapture of the church. We've looked at the judgment seat of Christ. We've looked at the Antichrist and his reign on earth for those 7 years. We looked at the tribulation, that 7-year period of time where God shakes this earth and gives man what he's always wanted, and that's a world without God. And then last week we looked at the return of Christ. You know, there's a difference between the rapture of Christ and the return of Christ. In the rapture, Jesus comes for his church, for his people. And by the way, you can be a member of the church and not be a member of the church. Say, what do you mean, Pastor? Not everybody whose name is on the church roll, name is in the book of life. Right. See, if you're depending on your baptism, or you're depending on your good works, or your good life, you're not in the book of life. But if you're depending solely and completely and wholly and only on what Jesus Christ did for you, you've received Him as your personal Savior. The Bible says you're an overcomer and your name is written in the book of life. And it'll never be blotted out. The day you trusted Christ, God lacquered your name in the book of life. Thank God for that. This week, the title of our message is entitled, The Final Kingdom. The Final Kingdom. There's a hymn which was written by Isaac Watts, and it was originally titled The Messiah's Coming and Kingdom. It was published in 1719. And for almost 300 years, Christians and non-Christians have been blessed by the first stanza of this hymn at a particular point of year. It goes like this: Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven, and heaven and nature sing. I hope that you'll not think me of the Grinch who spoiled your Christmas singing by telling you that is a wonderful hymn at Christmas time. And all God's people said, but the first stanza and each succeeding stanza are not at all about the babe in Bethlehem, but rather the returning, coming, conquering King of Kings, Jesus Christ. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing, heaven and nature sing. Verse 2, joy to the world, the Savior reigns. He didn't reign in Bethlehem. Men. He didn't reign in Galilee as he walked. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rock hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. Miss Nadine, I would assume that those roses you got have thorns in them. During this time that we're talking about the final kingdom, there won't be any more thorns with the rose. He comes to make His blessings flow, far as the curse is found. Fourth stanza, He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness and wonders of His love. This time that we're looking at, if you're in Revelation chapter 20, you're in the right spot, is what we call the millennial kingdom. The millennial kingdom. By the way, if there's a doctrine, Brother Becker, I think that is one of the least preached on doctrines, it's the millennial kingdom. By the way, more prophecies in the Old Testament are waiting to be fulfilled in this period of time that we're looking at today than anything else in your Bible. The whole book of Isaiah, millennial prophecy after millennial prophecy after millennial prophecy. Let's look, number one, if we could this morning, all our points start with P, the preamble to the millennium. Back in Daniel, and we'll not tarry long here, we did last week, and I don't think we need to this week. You remember the story of Nebuchadnezzar's dream and how he couldn't interpret the dream, and Daniel came and was brought before him. He tells Nebuchadnezzar what the dream is. And he says, you saw a great image, and the head was gold, and the chest and arms were silver, and the belly and thighs were brass, and the legs were iron, and the feet were part iron and part clay. And then he talks about a fifth kingdom. He talks about, and we looked at it in Daniel 2, 44 and 45, that there'll be a kingdom that's going to conquer all of this image, and it's going to smash this image into pieces. And in Daniel chapter 7, you learn a lot more about those four kingdoms. You learn that the first kingdom is like a lion with eagle's wings. The second is like a devouring bear. The third is like a leopard with four wings and four heads. And the fourth is a diverse ten-horned beast with iron teeth. And the Bible goes on and it describes and these kingdoms. And if you look at it and look at the history books, you'll find that the first kingdom is Babylon. Daniel looked at Nebuchadnezzar and said, you're the king with the head of gold on that image. Then the second king that would come up behind Babylon was what we know in history as Medo-Persia. It was the chest and arms of silver. It was that devouring bear. Then Greece came on the scene, the belly and thighs of brass. And then Rome with her legs of iron and feet part iron, part clay. And in three periods of time, the Roman Empire. And by the way, the last vestige of the Roman Empire is the Roman Catholic Church. It's the last vestige, the last pieces of those toes. And then we looked about 2 weeks ago about the Antichrist, and that he will revive the Roman Empire and will come on the scene, and he will demand allegiance and worship by pain of death, by the way. But thank God in our message last week that Jesus Christ is going to split the skies. And he's going to say, Mr. Antichrist, your time is up. I'm here to break all the kingdoms. I'm here to open up that fifth kingdom and have that time that the millennial, that the Bible calls the 1,000 years. The 1,000 years. So that's the preamble of the millennium. Let's look number two, if we could, this morning about the period of the millennium. The period of the millennium. And let me just say this. The term millennium is not found anywhere in your Bible. And don't get nervous about that. You know, some people, they like to spiritually poke people. Brother Leonard, that drives me crazy. You know, the word rapture is not found in the Bible, but the happening is. Uh-huh. Amen? And the word Trinity is not found in the Bible. Yeah, but God is still three in one. Just because the term is not found. The term millennium, you will not find that in your Bible, okay? But it comes from two words. It's a Latin word. It's a compound word derived from two Latin words. Mille, thousand, and annus, year or annual. Okay? So millennium, 1,000 years. Okay? The current Webster's Dictionary defines millennium three ways. The 1,000 years mentioned in Revelation chapter 20, during which holiness is to prevail and Christ is to reign on earth. That's the first definition of millennium in the Webster's 2010 dictionary. Okay, number two, a period of great happiness or human perfection, which I would say is number one. Amen. A period of 1,000 years, especially one reckoned at the beginning of the Christian era. 1,000-year anniversary or celebration. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to interpreting the Bible properly, we believe in interpreting the Bible literally and symbolically. Okay, you say, Pastor, we do? We do? Yes. Okay. Here's a literal example. And God formed man out of the dust of the ground. Brother Deke, I hate to break it to you. You're just souped up dust. Amen. Hey, so am I, and so is everybody else. We believe that God literally reached down in the dirt that he created and created man. At least I believe that. You believe that? Amen. We believe that God literally took a rib from Adam and with it created woman, and all God's people said. However, there are times in the Bible where the Bible is symbolic. Don't get nervous. Okay, I've used this one so many times, I feel like it's old. Jesus said, I am the... Is he a door? When he said that, did he all of a sudden morph into this flat thing and look at... No. He's giving us an illustration, okay? And we do not, listen, we do not subscribe to interpreting the Bible allegorically. It's just an allegory. It can mean whatever you want it to mean. No. David Cooper said this, when the plain sense of Scripture makes common sense, seek no other sense. Great principle of Bible interpretation. There are 9 verses in your King James Bible where the term 1,000 years are found. Okay? Psalm 90 verse 4, I'll read it to you. For 1,000 years in thy sight are as but yesterday when it is past and as a watch in the night. That's a symbolic reference to God's view of time. See, God is from everlasting to everlasting. 1,000 years, it's like a night. It's like a watch that is past. Ecclesiastes 6:6. Yea, though he live 1,000 years twice told, yet he hath seen no good. Do not all go to one place. A symbolic reference to the metaphor of man who's subscribed to the vanity of riches. He's like, look, it's never going to be enough. He's using a symbol. Okay? The third symbolic reference is 2 Peter 3:8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Again, God's view of time. One day to us is like 1,000 years to God, because he's from everlasting to everlasting. But there are 6 references in Revelation chapter 20. Okay? 6 literal references. Look at them with me if you would. Chapter 20, verse 2. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him, how long? Okay, Revelation 20, verse 3. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him till he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. Verse 4, okay, the end of verse 4. And they lived and reigned with Christ, how long? 1,000 years. Verse 5, but the rest of the dead lived not again until... 1,000 years are finished. Verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Lastly, verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired. Why? You say, Pastor, how do you know that these are 6 literal references to actual 1,000 years? Well, I'll tell you why. Because this period of time is preceded by and followed by events that are key to its time frame. It's interesting and perhaps revealing to note that the same group which attempts to shorten the 1,000-year period of Revelation to one day and thus do away entirely with the millennium also attempts to expand the 6 days of creation in Genesis to thousands of years. Why is this a literal period, Pastor? Well, I'll tell you this. Prior to it, Satan is bound. See, that has to take place. Okay? It has to happen. Satan is bound. The first resurrection is completed. It's finalized. Amen. By the way, that first resurrection has to have tribulation saints as well. People that will die during the tribulation for their faith. They're part of the first resurrection. Think about this. During the millennial kingdom, during this 1,000-year reign, Christ and his saints will rule and reign, according to verses 4 and 6, during that period of time. And after this 1,000 years, so this 1,000 years that is a literal period, when it finally ends, whenever that is, that 1,000th year comes, the Bible says Satan is loosed to deceive the nations. And according to verses 5 and 13, the second resurrection will be completed. But what does it have to wait for? A actual, literal, 1,000-year period of time. The millennium. The millennial kingdom. So, the preamble of the millennium. The period of the millennium. Let's look thirdly, if we could, about some of the particulars of the millennium. You know, the greatest of the particulars of the millennium is this. The royal presence of Jesus Christ. The royal presence. In that great passage that we read in Christmas time in Luke chapter 1. And it's a wonderful passage. It talks about how Jesus Christ will be born of the Holy Ghost. And then God gives that great verse, my life verse, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Amen. But not long before that, in chapter 1 verse 32, it says about Jesus that he will sit on the throne of his father David. Ladies and gentlemen, after Jesus comes back with us, he comes to rule and reign. He is going to occupy the throne of David. He is literally going to be here on earth physically in the flesh. Amazing. amazing. Isaiah 24:23 says, "Then the moon shall be confounded and sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and shall before his ancients gloriously." Jesus will literally reign here on earth, ladies and gentlemen. Not only is there the royal presence, but there's the removals. You know, Satan's going to be removed. Oh, can you imagine what it's going to be like to live without the devil and his minions pestering us? Oh my goodness. Wonderful. It says there in verses 2 and 3 that he's going to be laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up. Going to be stuck in there. But then not only there's the removals of Satan, but there's the removals of sin's curse. Sin's curse is going to be removed. Isaiah 11, 6 through 8 says, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb." You know, wolves and lambs don't hang out much now. No. At least, good for lambs that they don't, amen? "The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play with the hole of an asp." Right now, my opinion is this, Brother Lawley. The only good snake is a dead snake. There was I think it was last summer, I saw one. We were down on the lower slab here, and a snake came wiggling out of the grass. I said, "Big mistake, buddy." Because I happened to see it. Brother Horsch, I got the biggest rock I could and said, "Hello, amen," and smacked him, amen. You say, "Oh, God bless you if you say that, amen." God needs to bless you with some common sense, amen. But there's going to come a day when Jesus Christ rules and reigns, when the creation is going to go back to what it was before sin. And that, then, you know what? Then you are going to be able to, Miss Katie, we're going to be able to go up to the polar bears. And we won't have to have this big wall of glass like at the Toledo Zoo, amen? Isn't it wonderful? You see the little kids playing with the polar bears. You're like, that thing would eat you so fast, you wouldn't even be a Twinkie, amen? But you know what? During the millennial reign, we're going to be able to sit with them, pet them, amen? Why? Because sin's curse is removed. There's going to be no more thorns, no more thistles. The ground is going to bud forth. I don't even know if we'll have to till it, Brother Horsch. I think it's just going to bloom. By the way, that's the way God wanted it. It's the way God wanted it. But sin. So sin's curse is removed. Satan is removed. So the removals, the royal presence, there's some restorations. Israel is going to be restored, Brother Jeff. Israel is going to be restored. "For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob, and will yet choose Israel, and set them in their own land, and the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob." God's not done with Israel, ladies and gentlemen. God's not done with her. Jerusalem's going to be restored. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, the mountain of the Lord of hosts shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it." A friend of mine, Gary Bykirk, as a matter of fact, he just went to the Holy Land with 6 other Medal of Honor recipients. Really cool trip, he's telling me about it. And I always joke, people say, "Pastor, would you like to go to the Holy Land?" And I said, "I'm gonna. Every year for 1,000 years I get to go. During the millennium. During the millennium. Amen." Now, I'd love to go, but, you know, finances and me just don't get along when it comes to going to the Holy Land. Amen. I look at that and say, I got to give that to missions. Amen. That's a lot of money. Amen. So Jerusalem is going to be restored. Israel is going to be restored. The temple is going to be restored. I don't have time to read all the verses. Read Ezekiel 40 through 44. Talks about that millennial temple. You know what else is going to be restored? Long life. Isaiah 65:20, "There shall no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed." You know, how many of you have read the beginning of the Bible and thought, this can't be true? Listen, if you just got saved and you read and you saw somebody was 900 years old, you'd think, did God make a mistake? No. No, he didn't. Listen, And I could get into the whole canopy theory. There's all this that before the flood, before the curse of sin, before the flood, that life was longer, and it's going to be again. He's going to restore long life, living longer, okay? Something else that's going to be during the millennium is the royal presence of Christ, the removals, the restorations, the righteousness. Earth will be filled with the legislated righteousness of Jesus Christ. Listen, I appreciate, there was a black preacher several years ago in one of the inner cities, and he got it in his heart. He got it in his heart that he was going to take a stand for righteousness, and with his people, with the black people, he went up against every party store in his town and neighborhood. He said, "You need to go. You need to go." By the way, when I say party stores, I'm not talking about children's birthday parties. Yeah. I'm talking about they peddle liquor and lottery tickets and pornography and everything else that, you know, one day, listen, during the millennium, there's not going to be any party stores. Not going to be any pornography houses during the millennium. There's not going to be, it's going to be legislated righteousness. And Jesus says this, "I'll rule them with a rod of iron."
Amen.
That means it's not going to be up for debate.
Nope.
It's not going to be, the ACLU is filing my... That's what Jesus is going to say to that. Amen. Done. He's going to rule and reign in righteousness. And it's going to be wonderful. Going to be wonderful. Amen. Righteousness, the holiness. The Bible talks about in Isaiah 4, 3 and 4, "It shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion, he that remaineth in Jerusalem, shall be called holy, and everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem, when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood from Jerusalem in the midst of the spirit of judgment by the spirit of burning." Also, justice is going to reign. You know, we love Isaiah 9, 6. I love it. "For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." But verse 7 says this, "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice." I come from New England. That's why I don't want to hear anything about the Red Sox today. Did I say that already? 1969, little place in Massachusetts called Chappaquiddick. Ted Kennedy was in a car with a woman who was not his wife. And by the way, men, you shouldn't ever be in a car with a woman who's not your wife. Unless it's your mother or she's 50 years older than you are and you're bringing her to the hospital. Amen? She wasn't 50 years older. They went off a bridge. Crashed the car into 12 feet of water. Mr. Kennedy got out, didn't call the police till the next morning, where Mary Jo Kopechne drowned. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to rule with justice and judgment. There's not going to be any... It's going to be justice and judgment. Justice and judgment is going to populate the millennium. It's going to be part of the millennium. Something else, I love this, not only the righteousness with holiness and justice, but the refreshing. There'll be peace and comfort during the millennium. Isaiah 2:4, "And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." The Lord is just going to put an end to all war. The reigning. Isaiah 32:1, "Behold, the king shall reign in righteousness." Luke 1:32, we already read it, "That he shall be great, called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever." Chapter 20, verse 6 says, "And will live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. There's also regular worship. We could keep going. There's literally hundreds of millennial prophecies to be fulfilled. One of the purposes of the millennium will be to fulfill the Word of God, to say every jot and tittle is true. Think about that. Preamble of the millennium. Period of the millennium. Particulars of the millennium. Lastly, this morning, if you look at Revelation chapter 20, there's also a parting of the millennium. There's a parting. It It says in verse 7, when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed. For reasons known only to God, Satan is let out. And he deceives those that are born during that millennial period of time. Those that have not. And it's hard for us to imagine that with Jesus Christ literally ruling and reigning on earth, there will still be people that do not receive him as their Savior. And those, Satan will go out and he'll go out to the four corners of the earth and he'll deceive huge amounts of unsaved born during the millennium. And Satan and his enemies will encircle Jerusalem. And God's not playing around. Fire comes out of heaven and devours them. Anybody remember that time in the Old Testament? I think it's 2 Kings chapter 1. When they came to capture Elijah. One of my favorite stories in the Bible, Brother Jeff. They came to him and said, "Hey, man of God, get down here." He said, "If I'm a man of God, let fire come down out of heaven and devour you." Pow! Yeah. Then another guy came. I would have said, "Boy, you're asking for trouble." Another one came with 50 men and said, "Hey, if you're a man of God, get over here." He said, "If I'm a man of God, let fire come down out of heaven." Pow! And the third one, thank God, had some sense. "Excuse me, sir. The king really wants you to come. Would you please not devour me with fire?" Listen, our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming. In one day, He's going to consume all wickedness with fire. And then the last parting of the millennium. And it's a glorious parting, by the way. Verse 10, look at it. You got to rejoice in this verse. I hope you do. It says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are," by the way. They were cast in 1,000 years earlier. They're still there. They're still there. Amen. They're still going to be there for eternity. "And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." The parting of the millennium is simply this. There are those that are saved and those that are lost. Which one are you? If you're here today and you're depending on anything besides Jesus Christ, can I humbly plead with you today to just put all that stuff away. Could I say it this way, folks? Put religion away. Put religion away. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Is He your Savior? God has no grandchildren. Only children. See, you don't get saved because your daddy was a preacher or your mama was a godly Christian. You get saved because you personally realize that you're a sinner and in need of a Savior. Amen. The final kingdom. It's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to happen. Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And you know the good news, saints? We're going to rule and reign with Him. Amen. We're going to be kings and priests. Father,